If you're just tuning in to one of the many CBS stations around the country and around the world, for that matter, you may wonder if this is what you're hearing. And it is. CBS News has learned that Osama bin Laden is dead, and we understand special forces, American special forces, and the drone program are both critical parts of this most momentous moment in American history. I guess it's maybe not too early to ask what happens next. What happens next for Osama, for Al-Qaeda, but more importantly, and I'll go to Jeff McCausland for this very quickly, what do you think the troops are feeling as they hear this news?
Well, certainly this is a very positive morale thing for all the troops that are serving in Afghanistan, as well as I would imagine all the troops that are serving in Iraq. I mean, this has been a focal point for this conflict since 2001, and there's no doubt about it that they will see this as a victory. At the same time, I think they fully understand that we are at a global war with Al-Qaeda and its affiliates, as we've suggested. So while this is an important milestone, it may not certainly mean that this war is going to end anytime soon. You know, it occurs ironically on the 1st of May when the Taliban has announced the beginning of their spring offensive, which they did over the internet just in the last day or so, would begin today. So while a very important moment, it certainly is not going to mean the war ends tomorrow.
But it won't mean the war ends by any means, because if we understand things correctly, in Afghanistan, it's such a mess. I mean, the government there, the political situation there, they have a long way to go before we can even think about packing up and leaving. Am I right?
Well, that's absolutely true. And, of course, we're waiting here in the next few weeks for some formal announcement by the Obama administration about the beginning of a transition of U.S. forces. We just had General Petraeus back to testify about that before Congress. And now, of course, this also occurs as the administration is putting into place a new national security team, which will have, of course, Petraeus moving to CIA as well as Mr. Panetta going over the Pentagon and new leaders going to Afghanistan.
Is change at the top right now? When I say at the top, I mean the top of the CIA and so forth, and the top of the military leadership there in Afghanistan. Is this the time for it?
Well, I think so, because of the transition that we're, you know, turning the page in Afghanistan in terms of beginning that transition down. Obviously, it was driven in large measure by the decision by Bob Gates to retire from the Pentagon, and that's when things began to move around. So once Petraeus makes that announcement of what that transition is going to be in terms of the troop reductions that will begin this summer, it would seem to be a pretty appropriate place to make a transition in leadership and move on. Having said that, this team that's being put in place is a team of continuity. These are experienced people at all levels who have been involved in this particular conflict for a long, long time. John Allen, who will be replacing Dave Petraeus in Afghanistan, is the deputy CENTCOM commander and has been working the war in Afghanistan on a daily basis. So there won't be, I think, any dramatic changes in strategy, maybe some minor changes in leadership style.
We will have a special report again coming up in the midst of this broadcast at about 20 minutes past the hour. We'll take a moment now to let Mark Phillips look back over the time of Osama bin Laden, and we'll rejoin in a moment. Okay. Well, they tell us we are not hearing the audio from this report. I may be able to hear it here, but we're not hearing it elsewhere. Pamela Falk is here with us in the studio. Pam, this announcement that Osama bin Laden is dead has to send some shockwaves through everyone over at the UN. What are they doing right now?
Well, right now, what they're trying to do is clearly assess their reactions. I've been in touch with the Secretary General's office. They're trying to assess what can be done next. And clearly what they're going to do is assess what kind of UN resolutions can be passed to make sure the international community is strengthening the ability to share intelligence, which clearly this was a piece of. One interesting part of this news was that Osama bin Laden, the news we're getting and hasn't been confirmed, is that he was killed in a mansion outside Islamabad. And so if that is true, then it means obviously there was a lot of intelligence sharing by Pakistan and Afghanistan, and that's very important, and that's something that really has been coordinated in large part both through the White House but also through the United Nations. And what they're going to try to do, and what they said even before this news, but hopeful that some of the Al-Qaeda offshoots and Al-Qaeda Central, as the Pakistanis call it, would be cut off, that they would now try to really lock down the financing that gets to them.
We go to the White House now and CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer. Peter?
Well, this certainly serves notice, Harley, to terrorists worldwide that no one is, not within the reach of the United States. I think that there was a certain feeling in the anti-terror world that bin Laden would, escape the grasp of the United States. But killing him is certainly the single most important act against his anti-terror network and others. The terror network, of course, Al-Qaeda, has been in U.S. sites for so long. The spiritual leader of this central anti-U.S. terror cause is dead. But as our experts have been telling us, there are others arrayed in other countries. This certainly won't end the terror threat, but the kingpin is dead. And any notion of a centralized leadership of the remaining terror groups is very doubtful at this point. Sources are telling CBS News from the White House and elsewhere that the U.S. has been closing in on bin Laden in recent months, and this startling, dramatic development clearly confirms that the administration had actionable intelligence, and it pounced.
You know, one of the interesting things, I mean, even Gaddafi has used Osama bin Laden as sort of the guy, the whipping boy, if you will. He claimed that bin Laden was behind the uprising in his country, and yet virtually no one that I've heard took that seriously. Is that true?
Absolutely. This was, just sort of a Trojan horse type statement, like many that we've heard from Muammar Gaddafi. Bin Laden had no interest in, no direct interest in what was going on in Libya. I think it's worth repeating again for people joining us right now that CBS News has confirmed from multiple sources that Osama bin Laden is dead, and President Obama is expected to make that announcement formally from the White House here as we approach the hour of this Sunday here in Washington, D.C., approaching midnight.
It is an exciting time. I can tell you, and perhaps you can hear it in all of our voices. We are in our various places, of course, there in Washington is Peter Mayer. Pam Falk came rushing in here, as did Jerry Van Dyke. And Jerry Van Dyke, of course, has spent so many years there in that region and knows it so well. And we've gathered here, and there was a sense of, a palpable sense of excitement in the room as the first, indications that maybe this was happening began to unfold. And because we all know how big this is and how important it is to you who are listening right now, because how many people out there have been hoping that this happened and that this would happen sooner rather than later, because American blood has been spilled on those desert battlegrounds. Pamela Falk, we have about 40-odd seconds before we go to a CBS News special report. When you think back on all of these months, these years even, this is a big moment.
This is absolutely a big moment. It's not only an historic moment. It's a moment in which the international community can say, yes, the White House was right to try to hunt him down. Yes, intelligence matters. And yes, some of this technology has really helped. We do have word that Majority Leader Eric Cantor says the vice president called him to say that Osama bin Laden was killed in Pakistan. And clearly that means there's a lot of help, both by Pakistan and other countries, in this search.
No. CBS News special report. The death of Osama bin Laden. I'm Howard Arenstein in Washington. An announcement is expected from President Obama any minute now that Osama bin Laden is dead. National security correspondent David Martin says the 9/11 mastermind was shot in the head and killed by American forces.
We have two sources from the Hill saying that bin Laden was shot and killed. And Stephen Hadley, Charlie, the former national security advisor for President Bush, says he has been authoritatively told by the White House that bin Laden is dead.
No further details are available, although one report says the United States has bin Laden's body. One network is saying he was killed at a mansion outside the Pakistani capital of Islamabad. David Martin says little is known about how he was found.
According to those WikiLeaks documents, he communicated through one trusted courier. And he must have known that if he had a retinue of SUVs as his security guards, he would create a signature that would give himself away to any drone flying overhead.
CBS News national security consultant Juan Zarate says this is a night he's been hoping for since working on George W. Bush's National Security Council.
This demonstrates that there's persistence to American power, that nobody is beyond our reach, and that somebody who commits acts of terror against Americans since the mid-1990s will be gotten. And I think it's a great message to be sent not only to bin Laden in the inner core of al-Qaeda, but to other terrorists and others who may seek to do us harm.
National security analyst Peter Bergen says bin Laden was an improbable terrorist who learned his combat skills in Afghanistan.
By all accounts, a rather shy, retiring, somebody who was almost monosyllabic. He was not and also not a leader, but the experience of fighting the Soviets directly, A, made him think, maybe I'm a leader, and B, I'm going to set up my own organization.
CBS News Special Report, Osama bin Laden is dead. I'm Howard Arenstein.
CBS News special coverage continues. I'm Harley Carnes in New York. Again, we're hearing that from senior Pakistani intelligence officials that Osama bin Laden was killed in Pakistan. And as you heard just moments ago, as Howard Arenstein reported, the reports are that he was shot in the head by American special forces. We're joined now on the telephone by Dan Byman, senior fellow and director of research at the Sabin Center for Middle East Policy at Brookings, a professional staff writer for the 9/11 Commission as well. Dan, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
This moment has to be striking for you.
This is stunning. This is something that people in counterterrorism circles have been waiting for, really for 15 years, and I think all of America has been waiting for since 9/11. And it's finally happened. It's almost impossible in some ways to believe it's such good news.
I wonder if there were people who thought it would never happen.
Certainly as the years dragged on after 9/11, the question became, are we ever going to get this guy? And I think it was reasonable for people to wonder if it was really going to happen.
I think a lot of people wondered if perhaps he had been dead for a long time, but clearly not, since he became a target within the last hours.
I think most people within the counterterrorism community believed he was alive just because the jihadist community would have made a big deal of his death. And so his passing, if we can use that word for someone like him, would have been noted, and therefore they believed he was alive even when he didn't communicate regularly.
They're at the Brookings Institution, you guys are discussing these things. Put this into some context for us.
Well, first we need to have a bit of caution. Bin Laden's biggest success is creating an organization and a movement, really, that's going to survive him. So we'll continue to see terrorism. We'll continue to see people inspired by Bin Laden act. And in the short term, we may see revenge attacks. We may see the organization trying to prove its relevance. But Bin Laden was a very impressive leader. He was someone who unified a movement that was prone to divisions. He was someone that inspired many people. And it's going to be hard to replace him. And it's also, he was a symbol. He was a symbol of defiance of America. And his death removes that symbol. This doesn't, again, solve the problem, but it's a huge step forward.
It has to be key that he was a great inspirational leader to his followers, because it's such an emotional thing. I mean, to give your life for terrorism is a big deal. And yet, you got to figure that the organization behind it wasn't all his.
Absolutely. He took on an organization that had developed for other reasons during the anti-Soviet jihad. He was very good at taking existing organizations in different countries in the Muslim world and trying to bend them to his cause. And in a way, that was his strength. He didn't have to control every detail. He was willing to work with other leaders, work with other causes, and get what he could.
Pamela Falk is still with us, and I can tell you that she's been over here on her computer, and you're telling me that you're getting from a number of different sources the information here.
Yes, both Pakistani intelligence and the Pakistani UN mission are confirming that there was the actual capture and killing in Pakistan. And so that is something of pride for the Pakistanis, because they have been arguing that there was Al-Qaeda Central, as they would call them, in Pakistan, and that they were trying to help both the U.S. sources and intelligence and Afghanistan. And there's been some doubt about how helpful they would have been, and some of the WikiLeaks sources also put some questions onto that. Cells are key to Al-Qaeda, and so it makes them very insidious. What they're hoping is, by cutting off the head of Al-Qaeda, this really helps the international community cut off the cells.
Dan, how beneficial will this death be to Pakistan internally?
Bin Laden had himself launched attacks against different figures in Pakistan, and he also worked with a number of groups that were very opposed to the government of Pakistan. So there is hope that this will increase the chances of stability in Pakistan. But it's worth pointing out the Pakistani government has played a double game here. They've at times gone after people like bin Laden and his associates aggressively, and at times worked with them. We know that the Pakistani government is very close with the Taliban, which is, of course, very close with Al-Qaeda. So while this in some ways may benefit stability in Pakistan, the country has a long way to go.
Pam, I'm going to toss the same question to you. Because I guess, you know, in Pakistan, we know that a lot of this zeal and this movement has made things extremely difficult, as Dan points out. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think this will give a certain support to the government to say we have to get rid of Al-Qaeda. And this, by doing this, it also shows that there really is no place to run and no place to hide. In some senses, in the international community, the International Criminal Court is doing that. And on a military front, now the United States has been able to do that. And that tells the Pakistani government, go for it.
We know the president is now planning to speak to us in the next 5 to 10 minutes. Dan, let me ask you this. What should the U.S. do next? Is there anything in the message of this country as a whole that the president will stand to make that will resonate in the Muslim community that's going to make a difference following this death?
The president should make a couple points. One, of course, is that this is a man whose death is long overdue and has finally been brought to justice. But another is that this hunt, if you will, this effort against Al-Qaeda is going to continue. That while bin Laden's death is an important marker, we're going to go after anyone who is threatening the lives of Americans. And this should be expected. And we're going to do it efficiently. We're going to do it effectively. And as long as this continues, the United States will continue to fight.
Is there any chance that radicals will decide it's just not worth it and finally make peace with the fact that we exist and that we will?
Some will never make peace, but some may. Some may decide it's simply too hard to attack the United States. Some may decide to focus their guns elsewhere. And the hope is that the number of people who are committed to fighting the United States gets smaller and smaller, and as a result, easier and easier to go after. And I think that's going to be difficult, but it's also quite doable.
When you listen to the radical Islamics talk, they talk about defeating the great Satan, about putting this country out of business, about destroying this country and destroying Israel and so forth. Is there any chance that this sort of thing can lead to some level of rapprochement?
Certainly not with the most radical fringe. The real question to me is, will some of them drop out? And will others focus on whether their own countries or go after other targets? So it's not a question of making a deal or coming to an agreement with them, but it's simply a question of some of them giving up, whether directly or indirectly.
Yeah, it's just not worth it at some point. Pamela Falk, what do you think?
Absolutely. I think if history teaches us anything, it's that once the head of an organization is gone, the funding dries up and the support for those groups dry up. And then they may very well, one would hope, at least become marginal.
Our thanks to Dan Byman, who was with us there for those few minutes. He's senior fellow and director of research at the Sabin Center on Middle East Policy at Brookings, and a professional staff member on the 9/11 Commission. They did so much important work. Again, as you may have heard, and Pamela is hearing this from more sources than I would have imagined you had. I mean, you have a bunch of people calling you over there. That Osama bin Laden was not only killed, but am I hearing correct? Killed in a mansion?
Yes, in a mansion in Pakistan.
Well, I mean, so there we go. I mean, outside the Pakistani capital of Islamabad, and we are also told this was done by American special forces. We're going to be going to a special report in just a moment. But once again, CBS News can confirm from multiple sources this night that Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda, has been killed and has been killed by Americans, and that it is special forces and the drone program that get most of the credit. We'll be back in just a moment, but first this special report from CBS News.
This is a CBS News special report. I'm Tom Foti. The death of Osama bin Laden. We still await an announcement from President Obama at the White House, but CBS News has confirmed from multiple sources the Al-Qaeda leader who was behind the 9/11 attacks on America a decade ago has been killed. Here's CBS News National Security Correspondent David Martin.
It frankly comes as a surprise because for so many years people have said there was no trace of bin Laden, that he had gone absolutely silent, communicated only by courier, and somehow somebody finally got a location on bin Laden, and according to the sources that we have been talking to, he has been killed.
Apparently in a ground operation in Pakistan.
This demonstrates that there's persistence to American power, that nobody is beyond our reach, and that somebody who commits acts of terror against Americans since the mid-1990s will be gotten.
National Security Consultant Juan Zarate, CBS News Special Report. I'm Tom Foti.